God once told a man named Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and warn the people of the consequences of their lifestyle. But Jonah hopped a ship going in the opposite direction, and after enduring a terrible storm and 3 days in the belly of a whale, Jonah grudgingly agreed to go to Nineveh. When he got there and the people heard his words, they repented, they fasted, they covered themselves in sackcloth and ashes, and they were saved. Now, there's much more to the story, of course, but you can read it all in the Bible, the world's most important book. I'm Bill Armstrong of Colorado Christian University, where we trust the Bible and champion faith, family, and freedom. Check us out at www.ccu.edu. And by the way, stay tuned for You Get the Blessing with Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Wake up, Denver. This is You Get the Blessing.
Libby couldn't have picked a better song for these people.
Amen.
I never needed anybody's help in any way.
That was the voice of Chuck King.
But now these days are gone and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a gentle mind and open up the door.
I'm Bo Mitchell, your host.
Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do.
This is one of the best songs the Beatles ever wrote.
You say that about all of their songs.
Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me?
Everybody needs a little help, so you've tuned into the right program this morning, folks. We're here to help, and we're also here to allow you to receive a blessing by helping yourself. Now, little known fact, in a 6-year period when the Beatles hit the charts, how many number one songs would you guess? I give you $5 if you can get within 10.
6 years?
6-year period. How many number one singles song? Did they have? I happen to know this as a fact.
I'm guessing...
For $5, 18. Chuck King, right 18. Here. 18. How many?
18.
You owe me $50. It was 45 number one singles in
wow.
6 years. That's pretty brilliant, isn't it?
That is brilliant.
Even my friend Dr. James Dobson, who is a closet Beatles fan, he says what those young boys were writing about in terms of their lyrics, they should not have known that much about life at that point. But some good stuff, huh?
There's some really good stuff. They're very deep.
Help me if you can. I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being around. I'm talking to you, Lori. I'm talking to you, Mark. I'm talking to you, Chuck. And I'm talking to our three special guests today, Skip Starr, and the beautiful ladies to my right, Billy Brent and Lois Burns. The three of you come from the Teen Center today, but we're going to talk about 5 different organizations that you're part of. So welcome, Skip.
Thank you very much.
We'll start with you by asking you a pertinent question. Are you a large Beatles fan?
No. I was raised in Detroit, Motown. Motown all the way.
I almost belted out of Motown. I know you won't leave me, but I refuse to let you go. Are we good at this?
No, this is not right.
We have lost our listening audience, Skip.
Probably.
I can go Motown with you. That's good.
If you guys will give me a minute, I'll go get my guitar.
No, we'll
hey,
pass. Thank you
should hear Chuck King on the guitar. He has a beautiful right. Gibson, by the way, and he can play the Mississippi Squirrel Revival by Ray Stevens better than Ray Stevens.
Great, great.
Okay, folks, don't shut us off. We're going to get to some stuff here. Skip, thank you for being on the show. Tell us a little bit about what you all do.
Well, God led me many years ago, now about 6 years ago, to start a missionary program for ex-offenders. As you know, I came out of prison. And
what? You were in prison? Gee whiz.
I don't think you can be on the show, can you?
No. Oh, wait a minute. I guess so, since I was also in prison. I was in federal prison myself, but I really did not do much wrong. Seriously.
I can't say that.
I was just enough to get to federal prison. We'll tell you that story some other time, folks. It wasn't as bad as it seemed. How long were you in, Skip?
Year and a half.
Yeah. Nothing, right?
Yeah, ended up being the accountant for the farming operation for DOC. So it was.
I went in for bank fraud that I didn't know I committed.
I went
but
in
the
for
judge
fraud
said
too.
I did, and I ended up paying all the bills for a $20 million federal facility. So,
well,
I actually stole more from the prison while in prison than I did during my break.
You don't want to say that, Bob.
Oh, I'm just kidding. None of that's true. But anyway, we got through that, and you came out of that mess and went into this.
Yes, and been very blessed by it. Felt God was calling me to help other men as they were coming out of prison, so I started a Bible study at ACTC, which is a local halfway house. And then God, over the next 3 years, just led me in a lot of different directions.
You know what? Hold it right there a second. A lot of people listening feeling like they wish they could get out of the prison they're in today. So,
I tell people the best thing that ever happened to me was going to prison.
Amen. Second best thing was getting out.
Yes. But I found Christ there, and that's I would never have found him if I hadn't gone to prison.
Amen. Amen. So if you feel like you're in prison today, you may be in the prison of an addiction. You may be in the prison of debt, a bad marriage, a health issue. Just know that through the power of Jesus Christ and the relationship you can have with God through Christ, there is a release date for you from that prison. It's called a mandatory release date. And God knows what it is. And the only way he's going to reveal it to you is through faith. So if you don't have a faith to get you through whatever tough time you're going through, stay right here with us for a half hour on this program, and then tap in to a local church today and let some people point you in the direction of Christ, because he and the Holy Scriptures provide the answers that you're looking for. So pick it up from there, Skip. You came out of prison and launched into this.
Launched into the halfway house, and then over the next 3 years, God led me to that. That ministry started with myself and two volunteers. Today, we have five ministries, 55 volunteers. The budget went from a couple thousand a year to over 100,000 a year now.
So Chuck King, our co-host today, who is the Dean Emeritus of the School of Business at Colorado Christian University, he's a professor. Tell me how this works. So God can resurrect a life and give us a second chance?
God is all about second chances. As a matter of fact, he tells us in his word that he knows the trouble that we've seen. He's been here. He's experienced what it's like to be treated badly. And the fact is, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the Lord. Some sins are more obvious than others. But the bottom line is, without his help, we're all helpless. Yeah.
So even if we've messed up and we're the cause of the mistake and we've done something wrong, you're saying there's still hope for us to get in this club?
There is absolute hope for us. He is the only hope.
Well, well put.
I agree totally with that. That's awesome.
So I want you to introduce these ladies here, but tell us what they do with you.
Well, one of the ministries that God led me to start was to partner with Denver First Church, Tina and Angela, who I think you're going to be having on a later show, and join them in a drop-in center for homeless youth. And I said yes, and it's been an incredible blessing. We do an all-day program on Wednesdays from about 7 in the morning till 5 at night. We do that on Wednesdays because the local shelter, Urban Peak, closes down Wednesdays. It doesn't matter if it's 20 below or 100 above, those kids have to leave that Urban Peak on Wednesdays. And so we're open to help them. And we offer a lot of different programs. It's all Christian-based. We do a program that's really started the second week that we started the center. I was doing a Bible study for kids, talking about creation and God, and talking about the mountains and how close I feel to God when I go in the mountains. And I just asked the 30-some kids that were there, have any of you been to the mountains? And they said, no. And I said, well, I promise you, before the end of this summer, all of you will have been to the mountains. And so we do two times a month, we take these kids to the mountains every month. And that mountain trip program then went to the halfway houses. So now we take the men from the halfway house to the mountains for once a month. And that's unbelievable because they're leaving the county where they live and going together. And that's unheard of because they don't want you associating outside of the halfway house. So God blessed us that way. The women go, and we have an apartment complex for ex-offenders when they come out that we also minister to. And they go on trips. So we take five trips a month to the mountains, which is the way God blesses me, because I get to go back to the mountains five times a month. So it's a little selfish, but the amount of ministry that happens in those mountains is amazing.
Just good relational stuff.
Oh, yes, totally. And with the kids, these aren't just go look at the mountains. These are jumping off waterfalls, rafting down rivers, We tubed down St. Mary's Glacier. They're high. I don't think one trip have we not had one kid come back with an injury, because they're pretty exciting trips.
And well, that's the power of prayer right there, because yes. It sounds to me like you got them doing crazy things.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's introduce Billy over here.
I have Billy and Lois, who are Christian counselors. One of the things we wanted to do, these kids have so many issues, the homeless youth, that I wanted to bring in some sort of Christian programming. And a husband and wife team from Cherry Hills, which is my home church, came to me and said, hey, what would you think if we funded two Christian counselors coming to your center? I said, that's an answer to a prayer, man. And so they offered the money, and they came, and they've been doing incredible work. And so I'll turn it over to Billy for a second.
Okay, so that was the voice of Skip Starr from the Teen Center, and now we're going to meet Billy Brent. Billy, how are we doing over there?
I'm still a little nervous, but I'm doing okay.
You're not.
You don't sound nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Voice made for radio.
Let me ask you a question that'll help you relax.
Okay.
If I was more handsome, was wealthy, hadn't been married,
you'd be me.
Did that help you?
It does. It does. It gave me a good
meet
laugh.
A couple of old guys like us. We don't take ourselves seriously here. We take Christ seriously. So just relax and tell us what you do as a counselor.
Okay. Well, we have our own business on the east side of Denver called Burns and Brent Counseling Consulting, PC. And what we do is we come down to the shelter, and we want to meet the adolescents at their own level. You know, many people don't want to kind of go down in what we call work in the trenches with them. And we want to go down there. We want to hear their story. They don't really have the opportunity to say what they've been through, to say what they've overcome, and to know that there is hope out there. And given the opportunity to be able to speak about their story and speak about where they came from and the trauma that they've lived through, they're able to know there is hope.
So it helps to get it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And know that they have been victimized, but they're not victims. They are overcomers. They're survivors. A lot of these kids have been through things that none of us can really imagine. And what we want to do is give them hope. And if they can't have the hope, Blaise and I want to carry it for them. And we'll carry that hope for them until they're able to see that they have it and they can do it.
So, Chuck, why is this the age of everyone is just stuck on being a victim? I know I do it every morning driving to work. What's wrong with all these drivers? Can't they see that I'm the best driver on the freeway? Maybe if I could just lecture them all about driving, we'd all have a better morning. But how'd this come about, the blame game?
I think it all started with our parents making sure that we were never at fault. You know, when you went to school, if something went wrong, when you and I were little, our parents said, you better suck it up and do whatever you got to do, because the school's right and you're wrong. The generation following that, the way we parented our kids was, well, the school must have done something wrong. It can't possibly be your fault.
So something shifted, yeah. I remember Andy, my son, 25 years ago, had a smile on his face as I had to meet him in the principal's office, and the principal said, what are you smiling about? And he said, nothing you do to me here at school will be as bad as what my dad's going to do to me when I get home. So is parenting part of the issue here? Is that part of the struggle for these kids?
Well, a lot of these kids' parents were the government.
Oh, gotcha.
They were in foster care most of their lives.
Which I hate, don't you?
They went from home to home to home. So
I mean, I'm glad we have it, but passing around just doesn't work, does it?
And they have no security. They don't know what security looks like. And they're very untrustworthy, especially to therapists. So we are truly blessed that they're opening up their arms to us. They've been in therapy most of their lives. They've been in foster care most of their lives. So they see a couple of therapists coming in. At first, they ran. And we've been there for a few months now, about 3-4 months now. And it's wonderful, because when we walk in the door, they're excited to see us. They're excited to talk to us. So it's a blessing.
Good. And you're very well-spoken and poised.
So I don't look as nervous.
I think you should have your own radio show, Billy.
Exactly. Let's go to Lois. Now, Lois, can you tell us a story or two without mentioning names, just specifically of something that strikes you as a victory for your counseling service and mostly for the kids you're helping?
Sure. This is Lois Burns. I work with Billy. We just we go into the shelter with the mindset of changing lives, of helping people, and we're always amazed how God uses the youth to change us and to touch our hearts, to change the way we We see them. We experience them. We've become very amazed at how articulate a lot of these kids are, how intelligent, how they have dreams and goals, and things like that. We're able to see them really the way Christ sees them at this point. So we try to have a lot of fun, like Skip talked about his mountain trips. Billy and I are a couple of counselors that, you know, we take mental health seriously, but we also think that counseling should be fun. We do art every month with the kids. That some of them are just incredible artists. They'll do surprising things during the artwork. Express a very dark experience, but then always somewhere on the piece of paper, on the borders, on the center, there's some explosion of yellow and light and hope. Every week we go in, we don't know, you know, who we're going to see. We have to recruit. That's our first job when we walk in, which kind of unusual for counselors. And, you know, like Billy said, when we first started going in, they'd say, you're counselors. And they'd kind of put a Poison X sign up in front of them. But at this point, you know, they've really realized that we really care about them. We have a heart for them. And so, I mean, for instance, last month we did a whole program on depression, and many of them struggle with chronic severe depression. They've, you know, tried all kinds of medications, medical as well as self-medicated. And so we tried to launch, like, what are some of the resources or things that you have to do that you do, you know, to help yourself when you're feeling, you know, sort of hopeless. And I mean, I actually, one of the participants shared something that I just continue to think about, that this is a young person who has very little reason for hope. Pregnant, father's out of the picture, homeless, a past that is pretty bleak, no sort of secure past to move into an insecure future. And this attendee said, I just wait 10 minutes, and if it doesn't go away, I wait 10 more minutes. And, you know, that they just wait in hope. I mean, they it passes, they say. And it just like touched me. I find myself now waiting 10 minutes, you know.
I noticed that. I noticed both of you are trained professionals, licensed counselors. Billy, I'm particularly proud of you because you're a graduate of the MAC program, the Masters of Arts in Counseling at Colorado Christian University.
Absolutely. One of the greatest programs out there, might I say.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. And Lois, you're a graduate of the Master's program at Denver Seminary. So you have not only the biblical background, but the professional counseling skills as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
How come Lois's name's first in the billing? Burns and Brent. Did you all work that out?
Actually, could I tell that story?
Sure.
It's a good story. I actually came up with the name, but God gave this to Lois first. We both were interning at The Crossing, the Denver Rescue Mission, and we had back-to-back clients at that time. I mean, we would have 9-10 clients in a day, so we would only be able to cross each other and say hi and run across. And one day we were passing each other, and Lois said, Billy, something's really been on my heart. God's really been speaking to me, and I need to ask you a question. And I just really don't have the time. I got like 5 more clients I have to see. And she said, well, God put it on my heart for us to start a business together. I said, oh, can't do that. I'm still in school. I can't start a business. Are you? That's crazy. And I prayed about it. I talked with my family about it, and she was absolutely right. This has been a blessing. So her name should absolutely go first.
Well, good. And that is important, Chuck, to know that we're putting these kids in the hands of people that are trained. They've taken the time to earn the credential and the right to bless these folks with their counseling skills.
On the other hand, the Christian component is what's missing in so much counseling out there. Tell us, if you got a minute, Skip, can they tell us a little bit about what Christian counseling programs are about and how that's the training is different than what you would get at a secular school.
Well, one thing that I do love that CCU did all the time with us is they're able to coincide counseling with Christianity. You know, the word says there's nothing new under the sun. As clinicians, what do? We put these big words and ologies behind what God has already created. So we're showing Christ's love, and we're every counselor is showing biblical perspective when they go in there. We're just acknowledging that it is from Christ.
Wow. Good
stuff. Did you have Dr. Bill Saxby for a class?
I'm sorry?
Did you have Dr. Bill Saxby for a class?
Absolutely.
You can overcome that.
Hope you're listening, Bill. So, shall we take it back over to you, Skip, and tell us, you know, what's in the immediate future for y'all, and where can some of our listeners jump in and help?
Well, we're working on Xfinity Comcast to do a reality show about these kids, and we started the filming. The kids and I have gotten, the kids really have gotten to trust me over time, and so they will. One of the big signs of trust is when they'll take you to where they're living, because the homeless kids live in camps. Most often they try to live together so they can protect each other.
Because this is right in Denver, you're telling me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time in Denver. Give you one story. One of the homeless youth came to me one morning. He got there. I got there about 6:30. He got there. He was waiting there for me. And he said, I got to talk to you. I said, fine.
How old is this kid?
He's 19.
Okay.
And we have a room. It is our quiet room, our prayer room. And that's where I go when I want to talk. The kids want to talk to me one-on-one. So we went up there, and he said, Skip, I don't know what to do. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, 2 days ago, I saw a man killed. And the guy that killed him knows that I saw him. Mm. And I've been on the run for the last 2 days.
Not a good combination.
Not a good thing.
And I said, well, do you have any family here? He said, no. And I said, well, where are your parents? He said, my mom's a drug addict. My dad doesn't want to talk to me. But I do have a sister in Pittsburgh. I said, well, let's talk to your sister. And I said, how will she receive you? And so she's told me that I could come live with her. And I said, well, let's talk to her. So I got him on the phone with his sister. They talked about it. Her sister's husband was there. Said, I've got a position. You can work for the company I work for. So within 8 hours, he was on a bus to Pittsburgh, and he's now doing great. He calls me every now and then. He's paying me back slowly for the bus ticket. And one of the things we do and is try to help these kids financially. If we don't give them money, because that's like giving them money to go buy drugs.
How much does this guy owe you for the bus ticket?
$250-something. And the purpose of the show is to... The proceeds from that show will go into a fund strictly to be used to help these kids. And I'll give you another example. We went to a film at this 10-person camp. There were 10 homeless youth at this camp. A couple of them had okay tents. One had this piece of wood across, and about a third of his body was covered by a little tent, and it was going to rain that night. And I said, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'll huddle under this little tent. And, we talked to him and did a little video with him. And then one of the kids there, another that I'd known for some time, has cancer. He's 20, and he has cancer, and his family's in Texas. And his family wants him back. His family is begging for him to come back and start taking treatment. And he's had problems with his father. And I said, will you go back if I pay your way? And he said, well, I want to talk to my family. And so we got him on the phone. And his family and I talked. And they said, yes, we've got the doctor for him. We just want him to come back. And I said, well, so I put him on a bus that very day. And he's back with his family and now getting cancer treatment.
But so you need some financial help. Let's close the show out by talking to people that are listening about paying for this guy's bus ticket and helping you guys do more ministry with a little financial help. How much money you need?
Well, like I said, the ministry budget for a year is $100,000. Our year is July 1st to June 30th. We've raised $80,000. We have $80,000 either raised or committed. And we are looking for $20,000 more. And that will help all the ministries. But the biggest cost ministry is helping the homeless youth.
So let's think about it as we're driving here. and we pitch in with $500 or $1,000. Maybe somebody writes a check for $5,000 and gets a blessing by helping out the Teen Center here, Skip Starr, Billy Brent, Lois Burns, and all they're doing to help these young folks that are really struggling. It's good. It's a good thing you're doing. Chuck,
what's it worth to save a life?
Yeah. Amen. Yes. Absolutely. Makes me a little crazy that this kid somewhere trying to figure out how to pay you back for that bus ticket. But good for you sending him. I'm glad he's safe.
Yeah, and part of the reason, you know, I'm never going to collect it if he doesn't send it, but these kids need to know that they have to be responsible and pay their way through life. And so that's why I ask for it. I never demand it.
I know. Yeah. You're doing your part well. It's an amazing thing they're doing, isn't it?
It is amazing, and it's I can't believe that you and I and most of our listeners out there are driving by this every day, and we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, where are these camps? Tell me.
That I will not tell you.
Oh.
I can't tell you that.
Stupid.
Because these are not
question, huh?
These are not legal.
They don't want just to drop by, old guy.
These are not legal camps. The police try they move to try to keep away from the police, but they camp wherever they can.
But
they're not legal camps.
Sorry, I asked.
How did these?
As you like to say, you can't coach stupid.
How do these kids? How do they end up there? I mean,
65% come from physically or sexually abusive families.
Wow.
So the camp to them is a blessing in the sense that they don't have to put up with that anymore.
Amen. Amen.
Tough stuff.
This is great work you all are doing.
And God, through you all, is bringing about good in their lives. They do have hope in Christ, but you all are also a pathway to a better life for them. So
we try.
You're doing it.
You know, Bo, if every one of our listeners gave up a pizza on Saturday night, they could raise a significant amount of the money that Skip needs.
So we got to wrap this up. Tell us how they find you again.
RefugeCityMinistries.org, or you can drop by the center at 1229 South Broadway.
All right. Well, thank you, Chuck, for being a co-host. Thank you guys for being great guests. Billy, you're not nervous anymore. You're a radio star. We love you guys, and thanks for listening. See you next week on You Get the Blessing.
God bless.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind. I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around.